This is Jim Engster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Your number, 877-217-5757. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and in studio to begin our show is the Reverend Chris Andrews. For 22 years, he was pastor at First United Methodist. For the last many years, he's been the pastor at Jubilee Pioneers, and they're back meeting in person in the COVID age. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock, Bocage Racquet Club. Reverend Andrews says you're welcome to come. And also for about a decade, he's been head of Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge. So we have much to discuss with him. And, of course, Reverend Andrews follows the news and the culture war. And there is a culture war. I don't think there's any doubt. And it's in full bloom here in our state. And it's in some ways evident by COVID-19 and aversion to vaccines and masks. And this one's hard to explain why people would not do something in their best interest, but we see that happen frequently in the world of politics, Reverend Andrews.
We do, Jim. Human behavior is a enigma. It, flows against rational thinking, and some of this stuff with the vaccine and the anti-vax crowd is absolutely the most perplexing thing I think I've ever seen.
Last night I was at a restaurant, and I've heard this gentleman who's been in there before talk. He seems like an intelligent man, and he was telling one of the waitresses who was asking if she should be vaccinated. No, he says they're putting chips in you when they vaccinate you.
Yeah, we seem to be, another kind of pandemic that we're dealing with in this country is that this paranoia, this crazy thinking that everybody's out to get you and that there's some great plot that is trying to do harm to people. I mean, it makes no sense. Nobody can stand and look at that and say with any degree of intelligence or rational thinking that there's anything of substance behind that kind of resistance to a vaccine. I mean, my goodness, we vaccinate our children. We take our babies to the pediatrician and get vaccinated. I remember when polio came, the vaccine came for that, we were overjoyed, rejoicing. And here we have this opportunity to stem a pandemic with a good vaccine or vaccines, and people are still resistant to it because they feel that it's a government plot.
We have a great, as a people, distrust for institutions, for the military, for the police. And when we read stories like the one regarding state police today in Monroe, maybe some wariness is good, but on the other hand, when it comes to medical matters, this one is a slam dunk, do it as quickly as you can kind of situation, and yet about half the people in this country are not doing it.
Yep. Get the shot. I mean, that's what people need to do, and that's what they need to be about. And, I don't know any profession that's more respected than the medical profession. I mean, I have always almost revered doctors and think that, they want our best interest and work for that. And I follow my doctor's counsel with great dedication. Yeah.
But I went to a dentist yesterday, a guy I admire, a very good dentist, but he told me he had not been vaccinated.
There you go. I don't understand it. It's crazy stuff, if you ask me.
877-217-5757 for Reverend Andrews. Doug on Highland. Doug, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, it's a sad situation. I think we have an unholy trinity of ignorance, selfishness, and stupidity. I mean, let's be frank. And it's not about shaming people. That's a trivial, unimportant part of this. Some of these folks aren't capable of shame anyway, but it's not important. The important thing is what people do. And unfortunately, that trinity, I think, is really having a big impact.
Indeed. Yeah. I wrote a little meditation that I fed off of Steve Roberts' column in The Advocate some time ago. What would Jesus do? I think Jesus would roll up the sleeve on his tunic and stick his arm out and say, this is what you do if you love your fellow man and woman.
And Jesus was chiseled. He had lots of muscles.
Right, that's right.
We don't see many guys with lots of muscles anymore.
No, that's... He could have probably thrown a rock pretty good, but he was not into throwing rocks.
Jesus could bench press his weight. Yep. 877-217-5757. Doug on Highland, we thank you as always. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on with Reverend Andrews. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You know, I heard you say, Jim, you learn a lot more from people you disagree with than you agree with. I'm trying to prove that every day. It's hard. I got friends that are evangelicals, a lawyer, straight down the gamut. Bill Gates has got a chip in the vaccine, and just on and on. And you just can't have a conversation like that. I'll listen to the Reverend.
All right. Well, Reverend Andrews is dispensing words of wisdom.
Well, it just, you know, whether a person has a degree, whether they're professional or not, if they are of a mind that this vaccine is some great plot that is intended to do harm to the general population, they're just crazy. I mean, that's all there is to it. We can't mince words anymore. They are wrong and they are crazy.
I had heard another conversation this morning at Louis about how you can get a fake vaccination card.
I'm sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. the schemes never cease to amaze me as to how to get around things that are necessary for the general good of our population.
Well, the headline in yesterday's Advocate, LSU sets Tiger Stadium restrictions, proof of vaccination or negative test required for entry. Well, we've got 100,000 people. They can't take all day with every patron.
No, I think it'll be very interesting. That could be mass chaos. That's going to be, I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And trying to enforce masks.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, Jim, I think that the business community and others who are, you know, wanting to see our country be safe from the pandemic are doing some things that are going to incentivize people to get the vaccine. For example, I heard this morning driving in, Delta Airlines
yes.
is going to dock its employees $200 a paycheck if they are not vaccinated because of the cost for treatment for people who succumb or contract COVID-19.
Yeah, it's going to be a part of their health insurance contribution.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Delta, and this is another note, but they probably don't like this being called the Delta variant.
I'm sure.
877-217-5757, Michelle on government. Michelle, you're on with Chris Andrews. Hi, Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to just make a comment. And if all those people who think that the vaccine is some kind of plot, do they think for one second that Donald Trump would have gotten it himself? I mean, what an egotist. He wouldn't dare worry about getting a chip or whatever.
That's a pretty good point. And the leader of a lot of people is a vaccinated person, and that in itself should be a clue to those who are still resisting getting vaccinated. If your leader did it, why don't you follow suit and do as he did?
But people are going for these weird options.
Yeah. Ivermectin. Worm medicine for horses.
Worm medicine over a vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I'm telling you, it is absolutely crazy. You know, I tried to be nice and polite and kind and all of that, but I think it's time for just blunt language. It is crazy to think that this vaccine is going to do you harm and to risk getting COVID, which we know will do you harm if you come into contact with that. And, you know, we need to get the shots.
Well, in life, we play the percentages every day, whether we realize it or not. When we decide which road we're going to travel to go home, we're looking for the safest and quickest way to get home. And we think about what road is better. Well, is it better to take worm medicine to get a vaccine? Of course it's not. But people have been, a listener says, brainwashed. Is that what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm something of a Neanderthal when it comes to how I get my news. I still read the newspaper every morning. I listen to the WRKF almost exclusively in my car. And those are my two main items, or two main avenues for news. I don't do social media. I don't do Facebook, Twitter, tweet, all of those kinds of things. But I understand that there's a sort of a culture out there that just is never ending in feeding misinformation to people. And sometimes, you know, folks, if they see it on a screen, it becomes biblical. They believe it.
Nick downtown. Nick, you're on Talk Louisiana with Reverend Andrews.
Hey, good morning. It's always good to hear Chris on the radio. I've always been a big fan and have always looked to him for optimism and hope. And with all the political strife and controversy over the vaccine and the suffering we're seeing through all of the society and throughout the world, I was kind of wondering if he would, is this the darkest times you've seen, Reverend Andrews? And what would your message of hope be? Are you optimistic that one day we'll get through this, or is this the foreseeable future?
We've got to take a break, but we'll be back. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Some more time with Reverend Chris Andrews, 877-217-5757. And Nick downtown, before we went to the break, was asking about the worst time, and we always speak in superlatives, it seems, but this is a different time, and we've never dealt with a pandemic before, and people are wary, but yet they're not doing, in some cases, all they can do to protect themselves, their families, their friends. And we have a public health situation that should be over or nearing the end that now is intensifying. And what words of wisdom can you offer beyond telling people to get the vaccine? Is there a higher power we can consult right now?
Well, I'm a student of history, Jim, and think that, you know, having a long perspective is a very helpful thing to see us through dark and trying times. And I want to recommend a book for people that meant a lot to me, The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels by John Meacham, published, I think, in the last year or so. But anyway, Mr. Meacham points out that, you know, there have been tough times before, and we can, be assured that there will be tough times to come. I don't think we should be the sky is falling kind of people. But I think that we do need to listen to our better angels, which always has to do with caring for your fellow human being, working for justice, and doing what's right. It's not a complicated thing. And if we could somehow pull back the knives of our alienation and begin to respect and regard each other again as human beings, who are worthy of respect and high regard, I think we'd take a quantum leap forward for the good of everybody.
Rose on government. Rose, good morning. You're on with Chris Andrews.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Reverend. I just want to say I've been calling in about this since the pandemic began, and I've been praying about it. We weren't worried about our old people, and now it's our young people that are getting sick. Please, don't destroy our future. Pray to God and let your heart be open and get the shot.
Amen, Rose. Amen. I agree.
Jay in Mid-City. Jay, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. I myself had the COVID, and I really don't see a need to get the shot because I have antibodies, and a lot of people have reservations of the shot because of Dr. Fauci's relationship with Bill Gates, who is not a doctor or science. And this man is, say, only 500 million people should be on Earth, and he want to get rid of the cows. I mean, he's no more than a eugenics, and people should have their right to choose whether they want the shot or not.
All right. By the way, you can get it again, but Dr. Fauci is a doctor. Bill Gates is not, but he's a concerned citizen.
That's right, and I would urge you to consult your medical professionals and present your argument to them and see what they say. I think that you're wrong and you need to get the shot.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with Reverend Andrews. HB in Denham Springs. Hi, HB. You're on.
Good morning, Jim. Reverend, this is a hypothetical question. If you were the Lord of Lords, would you be satisfied with what you see or pleased with what you see in the societies of the world today, in particular our own republic and their actions and words?
No, I wouldn't. I want to see people live peacefully. I want to see people live with access to things like health care. I want to see equitable wages. I want to see justice done. So no, there's those. We're not living in easy times or good times. There are many problems that require, I think, the attention of our collective wisdom to address. But what we should do is work for the good of all, and not for the good of this interest or that interest or this group or that group. We need to be all in the boat together and work for the good of all.
We have conquered other matters. When I say conquered, we've improved. And sometimes people look back to the 1950s and say, that was a great time. America was on the move. We just won World War II. We were kicking ass and taking names, but we got bogged down in Korea. We had segregation. Black people, of course, were disenfranchised. Women could not get jobs in high places for the most part. And we had as much crime then as we have now on a per capita basis. So quite often we look back and say those were the good old days, but we've had tough times before and gotten past them.
We have, and I think that's why a perspective of history is so important to see us through these days. Without a doubt, we are facing some monumental challenges, but we've done it before, and we've been able to survive and come through, and I fully believe that we will do it again. I just hope, one of my prayers every day when my wife and I say our grace over the meal is give wisdom to our leaders. Give wisdom to our leaders. And I mean by that not just the leaders of the United States, but the leaders of the world. And let them have a wisdom that promotes the welfare and the well-being of all people.
Well, I recall when Nancy Pelosi said she did the same thing and she prayed for Donald Trump. She said every day, he says, well, that's a lie.
Well, Mr. Trump, bless him.
Leonard on airline. Leonard, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Rev. Do y'all think China and Russia would be the ones to benefit if America's economy fails due to the pandemic?
But QAnon and Russia, are they standing in line ready to benefit if our country falls to pieces?
I'm sure they would be. I'm sure they would be. Yeah. But I don't think our country is going to fall to pieces. I think this country has many, many wonderful things in its character and its history. And I believe that we have some well-intended leaders now in office who are trying to move us in a direction that will bring blessings and benefits to many. And, I think that we're going to see this through and we're going to be all right on the other side. Just a little aside, I was speaking to my friend Bill Jones this morning, who, Jim, I know you know, former senator from the Ruston area.
Yeah, and brother of Bert.
Bert Jones's brother, that's and Ben's brother, and a dear friend of mine. And he called this morning just to say, you know, they've done an assessment of the K-4 program that he was so instrumental in helping get going in this state, along with others like Randy Yuna. And now those kids have graduated from high school, and this program, without question, has been an amazing success, and the performance metrics of those young people are off the chart. And that's just one small example of what wise leaders can make happen for the benefit of the larger community.
A listener asked something that Chris and I discussed just before showtime, and that was the passing of Buddy Romer about 6 weeks ago, and certainly you knew him well. He was a congregant when you were at First United Methodist, and what a character.
Buddy was a character. He really was, and he was a delightful person and a dear friend, and Buddy was the kind of guy that you could never really figure out. I mean, he would go in one direction, you think that you had him pegged for where he'd go, and then he'd do a 180 and go in an entirely different direction. He was an interesting fellow. And, of course, he kept me humble because with my brilliant sermons, he would sit up in the balcony and read a book.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Hi, Henry.
Hello, Mr. Jim, hello, Reverend Chris. I hope y'all having a great day. I wanted to go off on a little bit different tangent that Reverend Chris is, I'd say, is an expert at. Have you ever seen an act of mercy? Well, you see them every now and then, but too seldom, where the Smart family asked for life imprisonment instead of the death penalty for the fellow that murdered their family member this week. That just really did restore my faith in humanity.
You know, Henry, I think that is a notable thing. And yes, I have seen that. In fact, I have dear friends here in Baton Rouge whose her sister was murdered in Houston, brutally stabbed. This individual went to that trial and did exactly that, said, we as a family don't want capital punishment. I would name the family, but I don't have permission to do so, but mm-hmm. they're quite prominent, and you would know the name. Mm-hmm. And yes, mercy, because all life is precious, and no matter how life is taken, we destroy the preciousness of it if we willfully destroy life.
We'll spend a few more minutes with Chris Andrews after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Reverend Chris Andrews with us for a few more moments, and then we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate, 877-217-5757. Christina in West Baton Rouge. Christina, you're on Talk Louisiana with Reverend Andrews. Hi, Christina.
Hello. Good morning, Dr. Good morning, Reverend. I'm wondering, I'm fully vaccinated, and I'm all, you know, a pro-vaccine. I'm wondering now that the Pfizer brand is the only one that's been removed from the emergency status and that now mandates are going on, are these disgruntled anti-vacciners going to try to request for the Pfizer supply as opposed to, you know, going somewhere and saying, oh, you just have Moderna, I'm walking out? Is that going to, I mean, do we anticipate something like that going?
Well, I certainly don't know, but the hope has been that with FDA approval that there would be a renewed or an openness to taking the vaccine from people who formerly were not ready to do that. And we'll see, the numbers will tell. And I certainly, again, just urge all of my friends who are not vaccinated to please go do that as soon as you can for the sake of yourself, your family, and our community and this world.
Ellen in Sherwood. Ellen, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Reverend Andrews, I appreciate your talking about this in an intelligent way. And I think that's what we should do. We should talk about, and not us, not lay people, but I would like to hear doctors, reputable doctors, talk about problems with the vaccine. But unfortunately, we're not allowed to hear that. That is being suppressed. And antibodies, for example, I have read that natural antibodies are better than vaccine antibodies. And it was in The Advocate. It was in the newspaper months ago, and then it wasn't. So, and then we just hear, even if you have natural antibodies, you should get the vaccine. That may not be the best thing, but we shouldn't be telling people. We should have reputable people saying and explaining the science. And there are studies that have been going on for the past year and a half, and they do point to some problems with the COVID vaccine. So we need to be aware of that.
Well, there certainly has been a tsunami of information, some of it good, some of it right, a lot of it not. To your point, I do think that the medical community is solidly behind the vaccine, and in almost 100% of cases, with 100% of their voice, urge people to get vaccinated. And saying that you have the antibody because you've had COVID-19 is still not adequate. We need the vaccine. It is the bottom line. It is the only certainty we have in combating this pandemic. and everybody should get it.
Thank you, Alan. 877-217-5757. A bit more time with Reverend Chris Andrews. Nick writes, I believe the true sickness is partisan politics. Not so long ago, Democrats all sat around expounding on conspiracy and secret government acts. It always seems that the non-ruling party mistrusts the government. We need to demand honesty from all of our elected officials, even if they're saying what we want to hear.
Without a doubt. And hypocrisy is spread large. No one side has a corner on that. Everybody seems to dip into that bucket whenever it suits them.
Chris Andrews, wanted to get your take on rebuilding Together Baton Rouge. You're still intricately involved with that endeavor, important in our community.
We are. We're a nonprofit that is dedicated to helping elderly homeowners live in comfort and safety in their homes, keeping them in the house and out of the nursing homes. And we are out there every day. Just as one case in point, we helped a family just recently who has endured numerous falls because their flooring was so uneven and treacherous, and hang up the walkers and those kinds of things. And we went in and replaced all of that. And we're working as we speak this morning, helping homeowners to be safe and secure in their houses.
And often you go to places that many in our community don't, especially a white guy. and you do it without great fear.
I do. I've never felt any fear. I mean, we have a facility in the 70805 zip code. I've been up there at 3 o'clock in the morning when our alarm goes off. You know, we just have to go and do and trust. And I've never been threatened. Found most of the people that we come into contact with are lovely, decent people. And there are a few bad guys out and gals out there who can make life miserable for us all. But I'm refuse to give into that and be cowered by them.
Well, and I'll say this for the people who are vaccinated and are wearing masks and are staying in their houses all day long. Life of fear is no life at all.
It really isn't. And it's a terrible way to exist. And it breeds all kinds of consequences that are not good.
Mental consequences, physical consequences.
Indeed.
You got to get out and be part of the
world.
We are
social beings, and we need contact with one another and need to get out from behind our locked doors and shake hands and know our neighbors and enjoy the delightfulness of other people.
And you can get a glimpse and hear the pearls of wisdom from Reverend Andrews up front and personal Monday night, 7 o'clock, Bocage Racquet Club, Jubilee Pioneers.
We would love to see you.
Okay. Reverend Andrews, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
We're joined now by Mark Ballard of The Advocate, the Capitol Bureau Chief, who's been reporting on many matters this week, but COVID is among them, of course. And yesterday, Mark had a front page story with Will Sintel, colleges set deadlines for student vaccines. Mark, how are the colleges going to impose this new deadline that is coming soon to the campuses near us? All right.
You can't mandate this. So what happens is that they're going to say that if you take one of the exemptions and if you choose not to be vaccinated, then you're going to be regularly tested. Right now, they're kind of trying to come up with what does regularly mean. In some colleges, it's once a week, once every other week, and it could be once a month. It depends on the process and the funding that they get.
This October 15th deadline, it's kind of like the August 31st deadline to get out of Afghanistan. Is it chiseled in stone?
Well, nothing really is chiseled in stone, but I think that this one is. They basically have a kind of a pre-deadline of, I think it's September the 10th, to show, which way are you going to go? Are you going to get vaccinated? So show us that you've gotten your first vaccinated or that you have been vaccinated. Or if you are going to opt out, then show us the paperwork that says that you're in the midst of opting out. And so October 15th, I think, is going to be pretty steadily adhered to.
And then LSU has a game on September 11th at home. LSU opens at the Rose Bowl on the 4th of September, but 11 September is only 16 days away. And I'm sure it'll be a big crowd for the game with Mighty McNeese State, but supposedly if you're not vaccinated, you don't get in, but already there are people trying to find ways to game the system. Mark, how can they police this effectively?
Well, I don't know about you, Jim, but I was, patted down regularly when I was a student at LSU, and they were looking for hard liquor, in my cowboy boots. And so, they seem to be able to move us through pretty quickly back then, and this is only going to be showing a card. So, is it going to be that difficult? The Saints were able to do it fairly efficiently, and so I imagine that LSU can too.
Well, fake cards, of course, will be hard to discern if a crowd of 100,000 shows, but let's hope people play by the rules. But as we know, this is so near and dear to many that they'll have to make a choice. And that's the whole idea. The whole idea is to get more people vaccinated. I hope a month from now, Mark, we're not talking about the same numbers of people who are not vaccinated that we are now.
Well, I think that the authorization by the FDA, first off, it takes away a lot of the what many of our agencies and institutions were hiding behind. And that was, this authorization, wasn't fully authorized, so we can't do anything. Well, the law doesn't actually say that, but they thought, well, yeah, it does kind of say, that. And so they were hiding behind that. And then there was a group, I don't know how significant it was, that was kind of waiting for full authorization because they didn't trust the emergency authorization. And so I think they have a reason to get vaccinated. And then once the governor comes up with the either get vaccinated or get tested, and once LSU and the UL systems and the community college and technical school systems get up with the either show us or be tested, I think we'll see an uptick in vaccinations.
You got vaccinated early on, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I had known a day before that he was going to be announcing my group. And so I was prepared. I waited for him to actually say the words aloud, and I was ready to sign up and get vaccinated. So, I'm not objective about this.
Didn't have any severe problems, I suspect.
Not at all. And I was expecting some because I had heard, people saying, oh, well, it kind of knocked them out for a day and that sort of thing. And so, I was hoping to take a sick day, but nothing happened, so I didn't.
877-217-5757, a quarter hour to go with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and we will get Mark's view of the world. And COVID continues to be first and forefront, but we will also talk about this video showing a trooper pummeling a black man severely, a footage that was kept secret for more than 2 years in Monroe after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. There is still time to talk with Mark Ballard of The Advocate, 877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Mark. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Yes, since Secretary of State Ardoin has offered no reason for his decision on the upcoming election, can we assume it's just another effort at Republican voter suppression?
All right. He's talking about Kyle Ardoin not doing the same things we did last year to help people to vote in during the COVID era. What do you think?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't quite catch all of the question. I think that there's a couple of things. One is that this election that will be coming up in October is expected to have a very low turnout. And he's basically saying that the vaccinations are in place, so therefore we don't need to have the COVID emergency. That is a trigger mechanism that would, allow for all these various changes. He's saying that this next election is not necessary for him to go into the election to make that election report.
Well, the election in October is the U.S. Senate election, isn't it? I believe it is. It'll be next year. There you go. You're right. Unfortunately, that will be October of next year. But unfortunately,
Yeah, that'll be a different election.
Yeah,
but you will have to make a trigger report for that too.
Yeah, but what is on the ballot? There's some amendments on the ballot in October, but we're only a couple months away. You're right; there won't be this huge turnout that we had for the presidential election. But what exactly will we be voting for that has of any kind of real magnitude?
It's mainly the constitutional amendments. I mean, there are fill in seats, a couple in the legislature, a district judge here and there. I'm not altogether sure that Baton Rouge is going to have anything but the amendments on there. So
a listener notes that I was jumping the gun on the Senate election. It's not as close as I just said it was for a moment, but it is not that far away, and yet nobody's signing up to run against John Kennedy. That is a bit of a surprise.
Well, that is. I guess, it's hard to run against an incumbent, particularly one that has, worked so hard to build the base, and that's what Kennedy has done. If nothing legislatively, at least he's hard on the politics of it all. So I'm not sure. Can you think of a Democrat other than the governor who has the stature to challenge John Kennedy? I'm not sure I can.
Well, there's always speculation about Jim Bernhard, but I think he's busy making money rather than spending money. And I can tell you, Eddie Rasponi, he winced when he came in here after the election and said, I spent a lot of money, about $13-14 million, I believe, to finish second in politics. Finishing second doesn't do you any good.
No. And Jim Bernhard has, he's mentioned in every single election and primarily because he's rich. I'm not sure I even know where he stands philosophically, politically.
Well, I think the fascinating thing would be if somebody like Garrett Graves ran against Kennedy, because if no Democrat runs of consequence, then some person viewed as more moderate than Kennedy, and I'm not sure Graves is, by the way, but he's viewed as being more moderate. He might get the Democratic vote and enough of the Republican vote to be a factor. I think that would be a far greater danger for John Neely Kennedy than some generic Democrat just putting his or her name on the ballot.
It is going to be difficult, though, for a Republican to go against the party and to run, and particularly since Kennedy's already gotten the endorsement of the former President Trump, and I believe even of the Republican Party of the state.
And Graves really has no distinction as far as votes. He voted against the insurrection investigation. He voted to not impeach President Trump. He voted to negate the election. All of those, he was right in sync with John Kennedy, and votes continue to be highly conservative and partisan from our delegation, and that's in view every week when there is a big vote in the Capitol. The other night, the vote on the John Lewis voting rights bill. Every Republican in the state of Louisiana and every Republican in the U.S. House of Representatives voted against it, Mark.
They are in lockstep on this. We're not seeing too many people who are of either side, really, who are thinking on their own on these things. Graves, what he has voted on, I mean, what he's been focusing on is very complex engineering stuff, and that's hard to translate into everyday, it's hard to make a bumper sticker out of, it came up with ideas to keep Puerto Rico from going bankrupt,
But a listener says he's far more telegenic than John Kennedy. Let's not get personal here. It's a family show.
Well, I think we can agree with that, though. I think we can all kind of agree with that.
Well, Garrett Graves is a nice-looking fellow. He's more telegenic than almost any of us. But, Well, anyway, let's stop there. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, I kind of called about a subject already. Well, okay, about the vaccines, I keep hearing your listeners saying that it's all Republicans not getting the vaccine, and that's not necessarily true. There's a lot of minorities not getting the vaccine, and a lot of minorities vote Democrat. So I think it's amongst both party lines, and I think people have different reasons. So some aren't getting the vaccine because of work reasons. They can't really, they don't want to lose work. And so there's a lot, and I do think a lot of the minorities are now starting to get the vaccines, at least from the news I'm reading. So things are shifting as now we're getting FDA approval. Now does the Delta D variants become more prominent since August? And so it's not just Republicans, it's also Democrats. It's people all that have their reasons for not getting the vaccine. And I think if anything, Republicans just, we want the individual to decide, and their medical records should be their own business. And that's where we're coming from. But,
all right. You gave Mark a lot to chew on, and most of what you said, I think, makes sense. Although I don't see how work would keep somebody from getting a vaccine. It takes a very short period of time to do that. But Mark, your thoughts about, Patrick seems optimistic about this, that we're going to get to where we need to be.
And I hear this a lot, particularly from Republicans, but the overwhelming majority of anti-vaxxers are Republican. Yes, there are some Democrats. Yes, there are some minorities, as he says, but that is true. But the overwhelming is Republican.
All right. Did want to focus a bit on the story today, and it is a shocking, stunning story. Graphic body camera footage kept secret for more than 2 years. This involves a state police beating of a black man in custody who was severely injured. Aaron Larry Bowman can be heard screaming between blows on the footage obtained by the Associated Press in a May 19, 2019 beating following a traffic stop that left him with a broken jaw, three broken ribs, a broken wrist, a gash to the head requiring six staples. And the trooper who is accused of doing this has been disciplined before. It says before resigning in March, he tallied 23 use of force incidents dating to 2015, 19 of them targeting black people, according to state police records. And obviously he should not have been on the force. But on the other hand, why did it take more than 2 years for this to become part of the public domain, Mark?
Because the state police has been successful in keeping this and other incidences out of the public view. And that's what it is. This is having this come out as the second one to come out like this. I kind of think that there's probably a lot more that have been pushed down, and the public's not allowed to hear about it because they've been pushing down these requests for the for public records.
Q on airline. Hi, Q. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, I just wanted to respond to the last caller's statement about how lots of Republicans, especially, care about their medical records being just between them and their doctors. But when it comes to women's rights and women's health care, we're not given the same respect. So I think it's a bit hypocritical to say that we women should have our healthcare presented to the world when it comes to like birth control, abortion rights and things like that. But when it comes to this vaccine, it's now supposed to be only between a person and their doctor.
Well, thank you, Q. Good to hear from you again. We need to hear from you more often, but
yes, sir.
I like it when you call, but she makes a good point.
She makes an excellent point. This is true.
and we see largely male legislative bodies enacting laws and bloviating constantly about women and things that don't involve them, like they know what it's like. And some people, of course, feel like we have a misogynistic society. It's kind of like saying we have a racist society. Of course we have misogynists and racists, but they shouldn't be in places of power if we can avoid it, Mark.
Well, I think it's important to point out, though, that that anti-abortion feeling in Louisiana is very high, and it crosses gender lines, and it crosses racial lines, and it crosses religious denominational lines.
We got a roll, but thanks, Mark. We'll be calling again next Thursday. Signature supporters from First Financial Tax and Accounting. Stay safe and stay tuned.